Turn, please, in your Bibles to Hosea chapter 7. Hosea. You may want to turn to your table of contents, or you can just find Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the bigger prophet books there after the Psalms, and then just a little bit further to the right would be Hosea. Or if you have a ridiculously small print Bible that no one in their 40s should have, it's on page 761, I think. Yeah, 761. Hosea chapter 7. And let's talk about gray hairs today. Verse 1, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood, and the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without. Verse 4, they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. Skip down to verse 7. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Strangers have devoured his strength and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth not. Hosea is one of the minor prophets. What does it mean to be a minor prophet? Under 18, right? No. And minor prophet also doesn't mean that he was unimportant. It just means that his prophecy is shorter than, say, like Isaiah's or Jeremiah's longer prophecies. One pastor was preaching a series on the prophets, through all the prophets, including Isaiah and Jeremiah, and one of the members asked him, when are you going to get to the meaner prophets? Meaner. As you read the minor prophets, you'll have to agree that their messages were rather bombastic and full of judgment, and Hosea is no exception to this. Our text there is in verse 9, gray hairs are here and there, yet he knoweth it not. You know, a few weeks ago, I turned 40. I have climbed the hill and topped it, and now I'm, well, let's just move on. I would rather be over the hill than under it, however. I'd say it beats being under it. Kimberly will tell you that I am a pretty positive person. I don't depress easily, but I made a little bit of an exception on that day. It was a little bit of a bad day. For me. First of all, some people in my church just did me wrong that day. But even beyond that, it was a day of retrospect and a day of looking forward to the future, you know. The good news for you is, I am now the exact age that the average church member in surveys says that they want their ideal pastor to be. And so I hope you enjoy it this year, because the time keeps on ticking off. You know, the new year also should be a time of doing what I did, looking back and looking forward, just taking some pause to take some measurements, you know. No pun intended, but maybe they should be. Take some measurements. Looking back, looking forward, it's good to stop and look at what has been accomplished, and then look at where we are meandering, where we need to kick it in the pants. It's a good idea to set some goals and try to build a better future. We will talk some about that in the evening service tonight, a God-led message that I want to share with you, as well as our prayer for our Kuna teams. Some of you recently, in your very supportive, considerate way, have pointed out that I have a few gray hairs that have appeared on my head as well as my chin. Usually, they say when a man's hair grays, or when it turns white, that it's a milestone, a compliment of wisdom, perhaps. But it's also indicative of a decline in his physical life. And I guess hair turning gray beats turning loose, right? By the way, have you heard the new cure for baldness? Have you heard about this? It's persimmon juice. Have you heard of the cure for baldness? Is persimmon juice. Now, actually, put it on. It won't cause you to grow new hair, but it'll shrink your head to fit the hair you've got. And so, it's a new cure. Anyway, What we have here in our text is an evidence of a decline, a spiritual decline. Hosea has much to say about backsliding. And here is a topic for us today, gray hairs, backsliding. Here's a danger that faces every one of us who are Christians. That is the danger of spiritual decline, spiritual backsliding. And it's interesting that Hosea calls it some gray hairs that are here and there, yet he knoweth it not. We need to ask ourselves today, am I turning gray spiritually? The first time some people find a gray hair, they pluck it out and attach it to an index card. That's an old habit, I guess. Some may still be in denial. Some have gray hair and attempt to camouflage it. Now, how many, let's be honest today, how many of you color away your gray? Can I see your hands all across the room? Okay, quite a few hands. How many of you know someone in the room who should have just raised their hand just now? Okay. Here's where spiritual decline begins, inwardly. Spiritual decline always begins inwardly. Usually there's some denial involved as well. You know the prodigal son? He backslid at home, alone, long before he backslid in a far country. Long before he took off and left his father's house, the backslide happened. The spiritual decline, the gray hairs started to grow inwardly, first of all. Proverbs 14:14 says, "The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself." He's self-centered. It's an inward thing, and there's backsliding right there in that verse. So what about these gray hairs mentioned here in our text? There's six of them. Number one is found in verse 1. It is the gray hair of falsehood. If you'd write that in on your bulletin, the gray hair of falsehood, verse 1. "When I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troop of robbers spoileth without." The gray hair of falsehood is the first one to pluck. I must ask, am I guilty of this? You should ask today, are you guilty of what the Bible calls falsehood? The last thing any of us are willing to do, oftentimes, is admit failure. We live in a world of falsehood and pretense and kind of pretending to be something that we are not. We grow cold spiritually, and we do everything possible that we know to keep up the appearance outwardly, like everything is okay. We put on the fake plastic smile, for instance, like trying to color away the gray and feel better. We say amen in church services when we're right with God. And when we're not right with God, sometimes we say amen even louder, trying to pretend like everything is right with God. Is that to throw others off the trail, or more likely is it to deceive ourselves and help ourselves to feel better? Or we don't come to the altar when a negative is preached on, you know, because he just preached hard on that sin. People might think I'm guilty of that sin, and God and I know that I am. But I don't want them to know that. I wouldn't want people to think that. What might others think? So we don't go to the altar when some sin is preached against, but we run down here if the preacher says, come to pray to be closer to God or to overturn Roe v. Wade or something like that. How easy it is to profess more than we actually possess. It's part of our nature. Let's just admit it today. Let's not commit right now on point number one, the sin of point number one. Let's not demonstrate that we have the gray hair of falsehood. Let's just admit right now, we try to be something that we're not outwardly. We try to live by pretense, pretending to be something that we are not. We profess more than we actually possess, but God knows our hearts. Look at verse 2. "And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness." See, they committed falsehood in verse 1. They're trying to be something outwardly. It's an outward Christianity. Verse 2, God says, "And they consider not in their hearts that I remember, I know their wickedness, are before my face," the end of the verse says. Write this down, please, today. Ego is what I think of myself. This is a neat little definition series here, these three definitions. Ego is what I think of myself. Reputation, See the second point there? Reputation is what others think of me. But what God knows about me, what's that? Character. Character. Oh, that we would focus on the latter of those three in our lives and in 2011 and beyond. Our Lord is the only one that we should be trying to impress. Preachers are supposed to stand up and in good conscience be striving to practice what they preach, not doing what we often do, which is stand up, sin number one, the gray hair of falsehood. We need to be the real, genuine article. Not worrying about how am I going to pump up my ego today. Not worrying about how is my reputation going to be affected in your mind today. But what is God who knows my heart looking into my heart and seeing right now? And I quiver in my boots at that thought. Titus 1:16 says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him. Our Lord is the only one we should be trying to impress. See how that verse continues? Being abominable, disobedient, unto every good work, reprobate. Wow. Matthew 15:8. This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, we say and sing the right things, and honoreth me with their lips, that's outward, but their heart is far from me. Our God looks at the heart. Oftentimes we consider the point that God sees the heart as just the positive of, at least my God doesn't judge me, He knows me. Listen, we need to consider the other side too. He knows me. And I need to be focused on my heart and who I am on the inside, not living the outward Christianity. You say, oh, that'll never happen to me. Well, remember what Paul told the Corinthians, take heed lest ye fall. You think you stand? Take heed. No matter how far we've grown in grace, it's no guarantee that we won't decline spiritually. Any of us can, and any of us do, backslide at times. The gray hair of falsehood. It's a prime example. Revelation 3 is that famous passage that says, I know thy works. Jesus said, thou art neither cold nor hot, but I wish that you were cold or hot. But because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. You know, a person who is cold seeks heat. We did that this week in Gulf Shores. One who is hot seeks to cool off. But a lukewarm person is satisfied. A lukewarm person is happy right there in the middle. We want our coffee hot. We want our iced tea cold. But not lukewarm. That's not palatable. You don't like it. That could make you sick. And listen, a lukewarm Christian makes God sick. It's the gray hair of falsehood. It's time we just be honest with God. Be honest with the mirror. Look into the mirror and say, this is the truth, God. And now that I'm past the pretense, now that I am past the falsehood of it, now that I am past pretending, now that I'm past the denial, now I can make some progress. Got to get over that hump of denial, don't you? I know I do. Second gray hair is found in verse 4. Look at it, verse 4. Hosea 7, verse 4 says, they are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceaseth from raising after he hath kneaded the dough until it be leavened. The gray hair of adultery. This is spiritual adultery we're talking about here. Hosea said, you love other gods more than you love Jehovah God. It's spiritual adultery. We have the idea that because we don't have idols of wood or stone in our home, that we are not guilty of idolatry. Oh, but we are guilty of idolatry. Oh, but we are. Americans have idols. Yes. They're just shaped differently. 1 John 2:15 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. That's spiritual idolatry, to love the things of the world more than God. Here's where some people say, preacher, don't tell me how to live my life. Listen, Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. People want their own way. What we need is a shepherd. And the shepherd of our souls is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's telling us how to live our lives. Let's not have that gray hair of falsehood or the gray hair of adultery. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God, being the enemy of God? Whosoever is a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You know, Lot was fine just as long as he was palling around with Uncle Abraham. But when Lot was alone, he looked at Sodom. It reminded him of Egypt. He longed to go back to the way things were, and he pitched his tent toward it. Simon Peter cut off that soldier's ear in the garden. He was Superman to the other disciples. He boasted that he would go with Jesus until death, and in a matter of hours he was warming himself with the enemy, cussing like a sailor, denying Christ. Paul spoke of one named Demas, who forsook him, loving this present world. That's how Paul says it. Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. It's amazing how many Christians today are unseparated, unsanctified. Don't be one of them. Let's pluck the gray hair of adultery. If we're going to be the bride of Christ, then bless God, let's be faithful to the bridegroom. Let's be faithful. Let's be a faithful bride of Christ. Look at verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. That's idolatry. That's spiritual adultery. Ephraim hath mixed himself among the people. Look what it says. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. What a picture, word picture painted for us right here. Do you like pancakes? Do you? Okay. Imagine eating one that's raw on one side. It wasn't flipped, you know? Question, ladies and gentlemen. Are you a half-baked Christian? Are you? I mean, that's a riding the fence kind of Christian. Are you trying to have it one way in one side of your life and one way on the other? Are you trying to have it both ways? The Bible says, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, then follow Him, and if Baal, then follow him. But choose you this day whom ye will serve." You know, we can't be both hot and cold. And if you try to be both hot and cold, what does Jesus say you are? The two mixed together, and you are lukewarm. You can't have it both ways. The most miserable people on earth are Christians who try to have it both ways. They have just enough Jesus in them that they can't really enjoy the world anymore, but they still hold on to enough world in their life that they can't enjoy Jesus, and that's no way to live your Christian existence. Let's be all or nothing Christians. Not commit spiritual adultery. It's a gray hair to pluck today. Adultery. Spiritual adultery. It's the desire for something else, much like physical adultery that we consider in marriages today. The desire for something else. Materialism, ambition out of balance. These things can lead us to spiritual adultery. Now, you may have to fellowship with some unsaved people. You may work with a lot of unsaved people. But the Bible says we shouldn't keep company with them of our own accord, other than trying to reach them, other than trying to pull them out of the fire, other than trying to save them. We shouldn't frequent their places either. The Bible says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." It's time we be different. Another gray hair is found in verse 7. Look back to verse 7. "They are all hot as an oven, and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me." Nobody's calling unto God anymore. It's the gray hair of prayerlessness. It's a hair to yank. Yank it out by the root. Prayerlessness. Look this way, please. Prayerlessness is a fundamental cause for all spiritual decline. You get away from your prayer life, you're going to get away from God. You get away from your quiet time, your personal devotional time, where you talk to God and where He speaks to you through His Word, you're going to get away from Him. Why? Because This book will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from this book. Prayer will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from prayer. D.L. Moody said, "All my failures are prayer failures." Wow. That's a potent statement right there, isn't it? All my failures are prayer failures. Let that sink in today. What does that mean? I know what it means to me. I can imagine what it must have meant to him. The gray hair of prayerlessness. Prayer could have kept me from falling to these things, is what he's saying. All these other failures, it's because I wasn't on the ball praying. Prayerlessness is an umbrella sin, if you will, under which all our other sins can stay safe and protected, never brought out into the open. And in the midst of our busy lives today, in the midst of all of our service for the Lord, even in His church, it's like we don't have time anymore to just commune with Him. Maybe we've allowed our prayer lives to be crowded out. Let's fix it in 2011. Let's do something different. If we really get on our knees this year, we will see what God can do and what He wants to do. I need to do less talking and more praying. Less studying and more praying. It's one of my New Year's resolutions. It's to realize that a great deal of what I stand up here and preach is going to be better if I spend more of my time on my knees than saying, "I got to perfect this. Oh no, this doesn't rhyme." Better use of time. Prayer. Will you join me in prayer this year? Let's yank that gray hair. If you could live your Christian life over, what would you do more of? Read your Bible more or pray more? Well, both are vitally important. What are you doing more of? What's lacking? Both are vital. In Luke 11:1, Jesus is asked by the disciples, "Teach us to pray." I like that passage there where the disciples say, "Lord, teach us to pray." I want you to notice that they didn't say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." That's what we really need. We all know how to pray. We know how, and we don't do it like we should do it. So, "Lord, teach us to do it. Teach us to pray." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to preach." They said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And then the Lord gave them that model prayer. How long has it been since you asked God for something definite, and He answered your prayer definitely? How long has it been? Think about it. We pray in vague generalities. Let's be specific. We pray such general, vague prayers, and then the devil says, "Oh, that would have happened anyway." You know? Many of us, early on, myself included, if we're just going to be honest and use an illustration from today, when we heard about the diagnosis for Brother Bob, and then we heard that it was the other way, you know, we were thinking scientifically, medically, what's the explanation? There's got to be some explanation, because it couldn't be as simple as the devil said, "Watch this," and God said, "No." Couldn't be that way, right? Ask God for something definite and watch Him answer definitely. Let's be specific. Some of us know them. You don't know them, but you've seen their pictures. Start praying some specific prayers. "Lord, for that Kuna woman and many others like her that she represents, Lord, if she's not saved, whatever her name is, I pray that she gets saved this week. For those who were saved and need to be baptized this week, Lord, I pray that they would follow through. For those that need to start discipleship, for those workers that need to get trained and find a kind of faithfulness that we challenge our own people at home to have, Lord, I pray that You'd give it to them and give it to me, and let's all be challenged together." let's pray some specific prayers. Lord, bless my finances? No, not good enough. Lord, you know about this and that and that. And Lord, I'm giving each of these things specifically to you, watching for specific answers, and then I'm going to praise you specifically for it. We could go on and on with illustrations. I think the point is made here. The gray hair of prayerlessness, it's a big problem for us. We need to yank it. We need to yank it out. Number four is the gray hair of weakness. Right here out of our text, we're just going through this passage and letting the Word of God do the work of God and speak for itself. And we find another gray hair in verse 9. It's the gray hair of weakness. Look at verse 9. Strangers have devoured his strength, and he knoweth it not. Yea, gray hairs are here and there upon him, yet he knoweth it not. That first phrase, strangers have devoured his strength. It's a lack of strength. It's weakness. It's a lack of fruitfulness, if you will. Like a tree that's standing, but has no fruit on it. There's a lot of Christians like that today. They stand proud and tall. With no fruit. Is real fruit resulting from your Christian service? How many of you specifically seen get saved? How long have you been saved? If it's been that long, then bearing fruit and seeing others saved ought to be as natural as bringing babies into this world as natural to a young couple. You know? It's natural. But we've become weak. We've become unfruitful. We have no strength spiritually. So question is, where should our strength come from? Well, physically we know that our strength is supposed to come from food, and spiritually it's supposed to come from the Word of God. The strangers in verse 9, look at it again. What are the strangers in verse 9? It says, strangers have devoured his strength. The strangers are other people and other things which take the place of what is to be our spiritual nourishment. In other words, jot it down, please. We feed the flesh. We feed our eyes. We feed our pride. But we should be starving those things, starving ourselves, and feeding our spirits. Whatever we feed grows big, big and bold. I'll quote it again. Two natures beat within my breast, one cursed, one blessed. This one I love. This one I hate, the one I feed, will dominate. Got to feed the spirit and starve the flesh. We have fed our flesh a good bit, especially during the holidays. This week I built up some reserves in case the food's not quite as good as last year. Maybe you could tell you didn't want to say anything. Thank you. It's time we feed our spirits. John 15:16. Jesus said, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. There's discipleship and teaching too. We often work for the Lord in the energy of the flesh. We often work for the Lord for praise and glory of man instead of in the energy of the Spirit to the praise and the glory of God, our Maker. Now let's do a little survey here this morning. How many of you have ever gone out in a vineyard and actually broken off a cluster of grapes from a vine and chowed down? Raise your hand. Have you ever done that before? I tricked you. No, you haven't ever gone and taken grapes off of a vine. The grapes grow on the branches, not on the vine. It's for a point here, folks. Not mean. Listen, Jesus said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Jesus doesn't bear fruit. Think about that. Jesus doesn't bear fruit unless he does it through us. Get that in your soul today. First of all, just the shock that he chooses to do it through us. The amazement that he could use us. And then get that in your soul today, the responsibility that he chooses to do it through us and that it won't happen, that he has no hands but ours, that he has no feet but ours, that he has no voice but ours. The gray hair of weakness is one the devil wants to grow all over us, so we do not walk in the power of the Spirit and bear much fruit. Let's yank that. Let's see much fruit in our lives. Not just in Kuna. The whole church can rejoice in that. Our team could rejoice in that, but it's not good enough. Each member of our team needs to be bearing some fruit when we're serving at Grace Baptist Church, when we're at our workplace in Illinois. Not just saying, well, look at all my fruit. No. And those that are staying behind can bear much fruit in Kuna through prayer and here at home as well. Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Next, look at verse 11. Another gray hair. It's the fifth one. Verse 11. Ephraim also is like a silly dove without heart. They call to Egypt. They go to Assyria. Let's read that again. Ephraim, that's who we're talking about here in this illustration, is like a silly dove without heart. Think about a dove. It's a beautiful bird, right? But without heart suggests there's something vain about that beauty. Without heart, without soul, suggests a silly, vain creature. Think with me of the wonderful illustration of an iceberg. An iceberg. Most of an iceberg is below the surface. And so it should be with our spirituality. Most of it should be beneath the surface. They say 8/9, or roughly 9/10, of an iceberg is below the surface. So it should be with our spirituality. Some of it has to overflow publicly. But most of it should be beneath the surface where only God sees it. It's not about ego. It's not about reputation. It's about character. It's not for show. It's not outward. It's on the inside. It's alone in that prayer closet. Psalm 51:6 says, behold, thou, Lord, desirest truth in the inward parts. In the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Christianity should be reality, not just an outward appearance. If you read Song of Solomon, that romantic novel of the Bible, some of it feels too hot for Sunday morning. Solomon told his love, she had dove's eyes. Thou art fair, my love, thou hast dove's eyes. What a line! That kind of pickup can work only if you back it up with some loving actions, you know? Talk is cheap, isn't it? Oh, he told me he loves me, but then he doesn't act like it. Verse 13. Woe unto them, for they have fled from me. Destruction unto them, because they have transgressed against me. Though I have redeemed them, yet they have spoken lies against me. They have not cried unto me with their heart. When they howled upon their beds, they assembled themselves for corn and wine. They rebel against me. He's making that point here. Under number 5. Empty formalism. Did I not give you that point yet? Under number 5, what you write in there is empty. It's empty formalism. It's like a silly dove, like a dove without heart. It's beautiful on the outside, just as Jesus said. They're like whitewashed sepulchres. It's a beautiful tomb. What a beautiful tomb that is. But inside are dead men's bones. It's empty formalism that we're talking about here. Number 6 is the gray hair of rebellion. This is the last one, the gray hair of rebellion. Somebody name for me the first rebel in the Bible. Who? First rebel in the Bible? Heard several ladies say Adam, several guys say Eve. They're all wrong. Who was the first rebel recorded in the Bible? Not human. Satan. Satan. He was the first rebel. Okay? Sorry, Gary. It wasn't Eve. How long you been married now? Listen, What Satan is characterized by is rebellion. And we are never more like Satan than when we are rebels. When we rebel against authority, we are very much like Satan. When we rebel, did you hear that today? It's when we rebel that we are like Satan. And disobedience is the essence of rebellion. It's just rebellion on the outside. It's just worked its way out. It's complaining against God. Often we become bitter over His dealings with us. Or we don't want to deal with Him at all. Or we rebel sometimes to spiritual things. We rebel at a message such as this one today. We excuse ourselves today from coming to the altar and doing business with God. We need to do business with God here and now at the beginning of the year. Or we're going to have the gray hair of falsehood, number one. We need to get rid of those stubborn grays. And how do we do that? Don't color them. They'll still be there. You got to yank them by the root. That can be painful. Don't you know that's painful? Some of us do. I've yanked a few and it hurts, let me tell you. Especially the ones that try to stick out of your nose or your ear. You know what I'm talking about? And even worse is when you pull on one in the ear and it's connected to one in the nose. Something freaky going on inside my head. These are a few of the gray hairs that Hosea records for us here, indicative of spiritual decline. Hey, listen, we can't stop our physical decline, can we? You can only delay the inevitable. That's what I've given in to. But spiritually, there's something we can do about it. And that's why God's Word tells us these things. Why are these gray hairs unobserved by us? Why are we so blind to our own faults? We are experts at examining others, but not ourselves. We can see it so clearly in someone else. Now listen, if we can recognize it that clearly in someone else, we possess the skills that it takes to recognize it in ourselves. We just have this gray hair of rebellion in the way, and this gray hair of falsehood in the way. We don't like to admit our failures. We take such long, hard looks at others. We need to focus on ourselves. We don't look into the mirror often enough, do we? God's Word. We need to do that. Does anybody have a mirror here this morning? Somebody take out a mirror? Can anyone take a mirror out right now and show it to us? No one wants to admit they're that vain that they carry a mirror around with them. Are you serious? Oh! I didn't know it, honey. I didn't know it was going to be you. She's not vain. She's not vain. She's pretty enough to be vain, but she's not vain. May I see that, please? I do. Okay, yeah, there is some makeup there at the bottom. See, there's a mirror there on the top. See that today? Let me show you what we need to do. Okay? Oh my. Here's what we need to do today. When it comes to these gray hairs, we need to look in the mirror and say, it's true. I'm talking to you. Are you listening? Eye contact, please. Yes. It's you. You got the problem. And you got to deal with it. You got to do business. You can spot it in anybody else so quickly. You can counsel them. You can help fix it in their life. What about you? What about you? Thank you, ma'am. All right. So, let's wrap this up here. God knows us even better than we know ourselves, but His Word is a mirror that we can look into and we can see the truth and we can see the gray and we can do business with God. We can allow Him to do radical spiritual surgery on us. we can yank these hairs with His help. So what do? Wash away the gray in three simple steps. Number one, self-examination. Self-examination, that's in that mirror, Lamentations 3:40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Self-examination. Number two, confession. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Self-examination. Confession. Number three, progression. Progression. That is progress. That's going forward. 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We've self-examined, we've confessed, we've progressed. Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things that are before. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. No looking back. In Hosea 14, turn over a couple pages and we're done. Look at the end of Hosea's prophecy. Here's the end of the book. Hosea 14 and verse 1, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Verse 2, he says, take with you words. That's the word of the Lord. Take with you these words and turn to the Lord. Say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Look at verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will pluck their gray. I'll remove it. Verse 4 says, I will heal their backsliding. Love them freely. Mine anger is turned away from him. Look at verse 9. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Who is prudent, and he shall know them? For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk therein, but the transgressors shall fall therein. Let's close our Bibles. Let's open our hearts to the Spirit of God right now. All across the room today, let's strive not to commit falsehood, the gray hair of falsehood. With no one looking around right now, let's just admit it to God. Lord, you've put your finger on some gray hairs in my life, and I submit to you, my Maker, my Creator, my Redeemer, my Savior. Rescue me. Remove these gray hairs. I'm backsliding spiritually in some area of my life, and Lord, you've told me, and I'm going to look in the mirror and just admit it. I have the problem. You have the solution. I'm getting past the denial. I'm going to admit it, and God, do radical spiritual surgery on my life. Fix these problems, these wicked sins that are aging me spiritually. All across the room, if God has used His Word to speak to your heart about some gray spiritually, would you raise your hand right now, all across the room? God's good to do that. His Word does a great work. That's nearly all of us. Now listen, it is all of us. Let's pray, and let's make a mirror out of this altar today. Look right into it, and let's do business with God. If you're here today and you're not sure if you're saved, we'd invite you to come and be saved. We'll privately show you from the Bible how you can be. If you just need some prayer, want to come to me, I'll be happy to pray with you, however God leads. Lord, this morning, thank you for your word and the awesome work that it does. Thank you for the wonderful privilege and the humbling responsibility that you are the vine and that we are the branches, that you seek fruit that remains to grow in and on and around us. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to see many souls saved this week once again. And specifically now, we come and pray this prayer for those hearts that you want to change. Start with ours today, Lord, as we look into the mirror, we pray in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand, let's step out, let's walk down, let's look into the mirror. Let's do business with God right now, shall we? If I can help you, would you come right now? Because I need to pray, and after you come, then it's my time at this altar. come let me know if I can help you with something. If you need to be saved, would you come right now? How long has it been since you knelt on your knees? How long has it been since you prayed? How long has it been since you led a soul to Christ, bore that fruit for the kingdom? Would you look this way, please? I love seeing things done that only God can do. And there's so many of them. Things that can only be explained that He's doing in our midst, only be explained by Him. And I'll tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, there's so many things that we can explain maybe some other ways, but He did those too. You know? And to God be the glory for it. And whatever your need is, if we can help you with it, please let us know. We can pray with you about something, let us know. And please be back tonight at 6 o'clock as we're going to talk about some vision for the future. It is a message that we will preach, and then we will have some prayer about the Kuna Missions trip and the people there. We're going to continue to bathe this in prayer, and let's keep that going all week, please. And that's at 6 o'clock tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you then. And thank God for the good things that He's doing. Let's pray for one another. Let's support one another through this new year together. And Brother Jerry, you called on me to pray earlier. I'll return the favor. Why don't you close us in prayer now?